Go ahead.
Kyle, how much do you...
Quarterback role and all of those kind of intangible things that come along.
How do I see it?
Have you seen him adapt to that?
He's been good so far. I mean, we just sit and review the game tape on Monday, so we've only had him here for a few hours, you know, introducing the game plan. We just went out through a walkthrough, did a good job with it. You know, CJ started a lot of games in college. I don't think it's too big for him. I think he's used to having it, and I think he's just going to go about it like he's gone about every other day throughout his career.
Positive vibes in the locker room. Seems like the guys are behind him in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, I think our guys are pros. I mean, guys are going to go out and do their job regardless of who's in there. I think the guys have a lot of trust in them. I think the guys like him as a person, so it's been all positive.
Do you have an intangible quality that helps him be successful?
I mean, I think everyone who's, especially quarterbacks who are successful, has something besides just talent. I mean, I think you got to have the ability to throw in this league to make it, and not many people do at this level, but... It's the other intangibles that separate everyone, who can handle the pressure, who can do it week in and week out, who can handle the highs and lows and recover through adversity and things like that. And I think he's shown that throughout college. And just being around the guy, I think you have a very tough person, both physically and mentally. So I think that's what makes him, you know, his biggest strengths.
With a rookie making his first start, do you pare down things offensively in the game plan, or do you throw as much at him to just to see what he's got and challenge?
I mean, there's no exact absolute on how to handle it. You try to make it, your whole game plan is based off what gives this guy the best chance to be successful and the 10 guys around him. So being confident, being clear-minded, being able to be aggressive and make quick reactions, that's usually what does it. You know, when you put too much in, that can slow a guy down, make him think too much. So definitely don't want to do that to him. But you also want to put enough in to help people get open and help them have some good opportunities and not to where everything has to be so tough. So there's a balance in both. I think CJ can handle a lot, and we'll work on that together as this goes.
Would you have looked at him as much if Iowa had more? I mean, so many colleges now rely just on spread offense.
Right. No, it just makes it easier. You don't say, like, I mean, you got to look at everybody, you know. So we look at everybody. We give everyone the same amount of time. You know, some guys, I mean, if you don't like what you see on tape, you get over that pretty quick. But, you know, when you see guys who have ability, you just got to keep digging and keep digging. And it does make it a lot easier when guys play under center and they're not always in the spread, because you can see some stuff that you know you're going to have to use them at the next level. When guys aren't in that, it's just harder. But it doesn't. You look at everyone the same.
You're asking the year where you're week to week, but how much what he does between now and the end of the year will dictate the team's plans in the future as you start thinking about the draft?
A ton. I mean, that's for every position. That's for every player on our team. That's for every coach on our team. I've been saying, you know, I know we're 0-6, and that's extremely tough, but I'm extremely excited about this place and excited where we're at and where we're going. And there's not a moment that I don't waste thinking about that stuff.
His grasp of the offense, has that been a factor in his improved practice play in the last couple of weeks?
Yes. I think it's the grasp of the offense, but it's the reps. It's guys work at it. They study hard. They pretty quickly throughout OTAs and training camp can draw it up on a board. They know the playbook, but it's about feeling and reacting, and that only happens with reps. And you do that throughout training camp. But they get the looks versus the coverages our defense runs. The more scout teamwork, the more carded looks you get each week, you go against some different coverages, you get to try different things. And you also get to sit back and watch everything that we've done in 6 weeks and how a game plan works, the stuff that we work on through the week, the reps that Brian got, how we take them into a film room, how it looks on a game, how we adjust throughout a game, how you correct those on Monday, how you change it the next week. I think it is very... beneficial for a guy to sit back and watch that stuff. They don't always have that opportunity, but the more you can soak in, especially at the quarterback position, the better you get. And then it comes with, can you handle that pressure and stuff and the adversity and all eyes on you and stuff as you do get that playing time, and how you're going to react as that goes.
Ellis's defensive scheme any easier for a rookie to come in and play against?
No, I don't think so. You know, there's... You know, Dallas is an extremely sound scheme. You know, to me, as sound as one there is in the NFL. They make you work for everything. It's there's not just a ton of crazy stuff that's all over the place, but it's all tied together. So it all looks the same. You know, it's hard to recognize certain coverages. They don't do a ton of them, but pre-snap they all look the same. Same with their front. So you know, you could say maybe it's easier because they're not doing as much stuff, but I can look at it as it's a lot harder because it all plays off each other.
You guys have increased your usage of no huddle in the last few weeks, and obviously some of that's based on how the game is going, but CJ at the end of the first half had a pretty good drive using no huddle, and at the end of the game, do you plan to incorporate that more, and how do you balance that given the burden it might place on your defense, given the time of possession numbers?
Yeah, we plan on doing it every week. You know, I think it just happened that, I mean, there's a difference between two-minute drives and then schematically going no huddle. And, you know, in the game last week, we had a two-minute drive at the end of the second quarter, and then we had a couple of them at the end of the game trying to get back in that game. So, but besides that, you know, well, like everyone in the league, everyone does that when you get at the end of the half or a game. But we always incorporate no huddle. We do it randomly. We try to jump in and out of it. I always felt, you know, we've done it throughout the year. You know, when you stay out there longer, you guys will notice it more. When you quickly go no huddle, and if you don't convert a third down, it's sometimes you'll miss it that we were even going no huddle. But the more we can stay out there, the more you can do it, and it's something I like to get in and out of. It's, you know, people talk about no huddle is about getting the, your defense gets the ball back too fast. Well, it's about moving the chains. I mean, if you go no huddle and you go three and out very fast, yes, that's a lot faster than going three and out while huddling. But three and out is still three and out. It's what's the best way to go on drives? And if jumping in no huddle allows you to go on a longer drive, even if you do go no huddle, that helps the defense.
What happens during a game that makes – is it scripted or do you just kind of
– No, it's more gut. It's more, you know, you feel you got the defense on their heels. You notice guys are tired. You notice D linemen are just getting out of the stacks or the pile up slowly. You feel you got a team on their heels and you want to attack.
What does CJ have to do the rest of the season to prove to you that he's the quarterback of the future here and that you don't need to spend your first round pick on a quarterback next year or sign someone to a big money contract during free agency?
Show that he has the ability to lead us to where we want to go. And I think that's everyone in this league. You know, everyone's goal in this league is to have an opportunity to go all the way. And, you know, I think first and foremost, people are going to always look at the quarterback first. It's the guy who touches the ball every play. And depending on that level, that helps you the most. You know, there definitely isn't 32 of those in the world. And so by no means do you have to be one of those top five guys. But you have to show the ability that you can build things around a person who gives you the chance, no matter what type of defense you go against, that he's got the ability to make those throws. He's got the ability to make some off-schedule plays. And he's the type of person who can handle all the stuff that goes with it.
You started some rookie quarterbacks at various points. Is there a common thread to how defenses will approach those guys? I mean, the way they'll switch up coverages, try to trick them, that sort of thing?
No, I think it depends on the defensive coordinator's personality, his mentality, how he views our quarterback. I think things I've played with totally different rookie-type quarterbacks, and I think it has a lot to do with their skill set. Lots of guys say, hey, they're a young guy. Let's blitz the heck out of him, see if he can handle it. A lot of guys say, he's a young guy. He's going to struggle to work it all the way down the field, so let's just be real conservative and see if he can execute for 10 plays in a row. So it can go either way. It just depends to me on how they feel, and you try to see that, and then you try to get a feel as a play caller and adjust.
What was your evaluation of Dak leading into last year's draft? And were you surprised? Obviously, his throwing was a really good situation, but were you surprised that he had as much success as he did?
I could honestly, I didn't put a lot of time into Dak coming out because, you know, as the coordinator at Atlanta, we knew we weren't going to draft a quarterback. So I put a lot of time into other positions. So I didn't really get to study him hard coming out of college, watching him in the NFL. I think everyone can see why he's been very successful and why he's going to continue to be very successful.
Your ideal run-pass balance, in an ideal world, would that be around 50-50? Because I know the passes have far outnumbered the run.
Yeah.
Is that because you guys have fallen behind here?
No, I think I look at it as I want to be 50-50 in normal situations, which is normal first and second downs. You know, so I'm taking out 2 minutes. I'm taking out third downs. And we're not going to be 50-50 run-pass in 2 minutes. You know, we're not going to be 50-50 run-pass in third and eight. I think everyone knows that's extremely high throwing percentages. So you take all that out of the game, and then first, second down, normal situations, are you balanced? And that's what always our goal is. Now, if you're really bad on third down, you've really been struggling on third down, which we have, those are pretty much 80% passes, you know, unless they're all short yardage. So if you're not staying on the field and you're throwing every third down, how are you going to have a good run-pass ratio? Only if you run it every first and second down, and then you throw it third down. So if you're going to struggle on third down, it's going to be really hard for us to have the ratio that I want. So we got to stay on the field longer. We got to move the chains. We got to have some longer drives, less three and outs. And then I think that ratio will be where I want it to be. But I never take in 2 minute and things like that.
Ruben and Ray were involved in a scary incident. Have you talked to them and everything okay with them?
Yes. Yeah, they told me about it, told me that everything that happened, and just a reminder on how careful you got to be. I mean, I'm definitely glad they got out of it okay. Sounded pretty dangerous, something pretty scary, a situation I haven't been in like that before, but I know they were pretty shook up from it and worried, and I'm just really glad they're all right.
Following up on that, it's not a crime to be at a club at 2 a.m., when Ruben was drafted, you know, the team talked about having a strong support system around him. I mean, does where he was or, you know, give you those thoughts?
You know, I think you can look at that a bunch of different ways, you know, and I don't think everyone totally knows our exact lifestyle. You know, Sunday night after a game, you know, I'm not making excuses for anyone, but just to be honest with you guys, you know, Monday, you know, our first team meeting's at 1 o'clock. We go over the game tape, and it's all meetings. There's nothing physical. There's nothing on the field. Tuesday's the player's day off. Then we see him Wednesday. So, you know, Sunday night for 90% of this league or whatever it is, you know, that's players Friday night. Monday night's players Saturdays. And everyone handles their free time differently. I know, you know, it's you got to handle it right. You know, you got to, when you're in those situations, you got to be careful, as hopefully they learn from being in that situation. But I also, you know, want to keep perspective that, you know, when guys do decide to have a night out and they don't have a big thing the next day, I want them to handle themselves right, protect our team. But I'm not going to get mad at a guy for putting in the work in all week, those guys grinding, and then him deciding to go out and do what I think most people do at their age at that time. You know, I know the report was at 2 and stuff, and which is a little bit after when it happened. And I also know that that's about when those times those bars close. And, you know, you want guys to stay out of trouble and not put themselves in that situation. I think I'd feel a lot differently if that was a Thursday night, if it was, you know, a different night in the week. But just to be honest with you guys, Sundays, it's a little different schedule for people in the NFL.
You guys have changes lately. Navarro's gone. You changed with Brian. Both pretty personable guys, but there's no room for sentiment in the NFL. That's something you have to deal with. You got to be kind of cold-blooded.
Yes. Yeah. You want me to comment on that?
Yes.
It's the tough part of the job, you know, and that's, I think people who know me, like people, you know, deep down, I think I'm a pretty compassionate guy, and I have a lot of empathy for people. But I also am extremely aware of the NFL and the decisions that you have to make. I've been around these decisions my whole life, and I know when, no matter how you feel or no matter how hard something is, if you believe it's the right decision, you cannot hesitate. And that's what I believe my job is. And that's what I was trying to talk about last week, John and I. It was an extremely hard thing to move on from Navarro, extremely hard. And that's not something that you want to do, because I think everyone knows why. That's hard, and it's not easy conversations. But you have to look at the big picture. You have to think of what's best for your team now and in the future. And once you are convicted and you have your reasons why, you can't hesitate. And I never will. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to come here, because I feel I'm in a situation where John and I can think of what's right for this team, and if we do believe it's right from a football standpoint, organizational standpoint, we're in a position that we can make those decisions, and that's what our job is to do.
When it comes to more, please, leadership in the locker room, do you encourage some of the younger players to say, hey, you know, to take some ownership here, this is an opportunity for you to fill maybe that leadership void? Or are you kind of hands off and you just sort of let those things evolve on their own?
No, I think you got to, in order to, for people to lead, you have to give them a platform to lead. I also think that people will only follow people that they respect. And the way people respect people in this league is what they put on tape, how they handle themselves on the field, and then how they handle themselves just about how they go about their work every single day. And it's very important to me to, you know, to have people here. And I've made it clear that I don't care if you're a rookie. I don't care if you've been here 6 months. I don't care if you've been here 8 years. It doesn't really matter to me. I think leaders can be all over. And I think everyone can do it their own way. I think you have to do it by being yourself. But it's something that I do definitely want more guys here stepping it up to do that. And it doesn't matter to me what your status is. It matters to me who you are and how you live your life every day, and especially how you are in this building.
Expect Ruben to play this week?
I do expect him to, but I guess I should use the words I'm optimistic. Maybe not expect. I'm being more optimistic. I was hoping last week. Definitely wasn't as optimistic last week, but I'm more optimistic this week. But you never know. It's a high ankle sprain. You don't know how those act. I'm just really hoping he can get 3 good days of practice in, and if he does, I feel pretty confident he'll be out there.
What's your immediate reaction this morning from the commissioner's remarks about players saying that it wasn't disrespect? They're not disrespecting the flag. Do you expect them to stand? Have you had time to process that? Talk to the players yet?
No, I didn't hear the remarks at all. Just heard them from you, and I like those remarks. And what did you say it again? Let me make sure of that.
I'll say it for you. Goodell says players are not being disrespectful when they protest during the national anthem, but he also said everyone should stand during his plane.
Yeah, I think I've made pretty clear about how we feel here. I mean, nobody should disrespect the flag and do all that stuff. I think I've made it clear that by talking to the people who do that, that is not their intentions at all. So that's what's made me understand why they're doing it. I definitely hope that there comes a point where we don't feel the need to, but I also know myself, our whole organization included, we're going to respect people's rights and respect people's opinions, and I'm not going to tell them how to live their life.
All right.
All right, guys. Thanks.